Good evening and welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. This ministry radio station has been dedicated and consecrated to God. We thank you for joining us. We don't take it lightly that God has given us a platform to penetrate the darkness with His Word, His revelation Word. So we're honored to have you listening in tonight by calling in or by way of streaming or on demand. This is week 8, Revelation 17 and 18, Mystery Babylon the Great and the Mother of Harlots. So we just thank you for joining us. And I am not going to call out all the nations that have listened in to our broadcast, but we thank God for global listeners. We thank God for those across on the other side of the earth that tune in by way of being on demand or streaming. We thank the Holy Spirit for just attaching himself to you and drawing you to this ministry. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory. So tonight we have author, teacher, Chadwick Harvey, and he has revelation knowledge about God's prophetic timeline, Messiah's final warning. And this is week 8 of 12 weeks of study. So you're more than welcome to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry and go scroll down to week 1 all the way up to week 8. Thursday we will do week 9 because last Thursday Blog Talk Radio had a server problem and nobody could broadcast on their radio station. So we're broadcasting tonight, Monday night, just to catch up where we couldn't do it last Thursday night. So we thank you again for joining us and tuning in. So I'm going to open the mic for my brother in Christ, Chadwick Harvey. How you doing there, sir?
I'm doing great, Linda. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Most High God. Hallelujah. So you open the broadcast with prayer, and then you can proceed in your great ministry that you have. I'm so honored and privileged to have you on this broadcast and for the last 8 weeks. And I just want to say when I was in Israel, my brother Chadwick had to do 2 broadcasts on his own, and the Lord blessed him. We worked it out, and we're back. I think the devil's just mad because he doesn't want to be discovered or found out. And this ministry under my brother Chadwick Harvey has really been exposing the devil. I thought about when ISIS bombed in Egypt another Muslim sect, and how that's part of the prophetic timeline, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. You're about to see this huge clash between Sunni and Shia. We've discussed that in Daniel 2, and we've hit on it a little bit throughout the 8 weeks so far, and we'll continue to see that manifest as we look into the Middle East and North Africa. We'll kind of continue to see that manifest into this great war that we're going to see, in my opinion, the next great war of the Middle East, basically, in the future. You're starting to see all the pieces and all the alliances to come together, and we can hit on that as well with the Shia and the Sunni, Sunni being Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, and all of the terrorist organizations such as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all of that comes with Saudi Arabia and Turkey. And then you're seeing also the Shia crescent as well, which is Iran is the head of it with Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Hamas. You know, they're Shia controlled by Iran. And Iran controls Iraq right now. So you're about to see this Sunni crescent and this Shia crescent clash in a major war, which is Daniel 8, which we've discussed, with the head of those being Turkey and Iran. So I believe we're starting to see that formulate in the areas of Iraq and Syria. You're seeing all the disaster there, and you're starting to see the real estate come into play as far as what Turkey wants to reestablish, which is the Ottoman Empire we discussed last week, or the previous week with Revelation 13 and 17. You're starting to see that come together. The revived Ottoman Empire, the one that was wounded in 1923. And we'll hit on some of that as we get into the tonight's subject because it all kind of correlates together.
Okay, well, why don't you open us up in prayer, and then the mic is all yours.
Thank you, Linda. Father, we just come to you tonight to say thank you. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for your biblical prophets who are speaking to us, who are screaming at us right now as we look towards the Middle East, as we look towards Israel, the promised land. We can see it all coming together just like your biblical prophets foretold. And Lord, we just want to thank you for pouring out your spirit upon us. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us tonight. We're two or three are gathered in your name. You're there amongst us and have your way with us. We just want to give all the glory, the credit, and the honor to the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, in his blood and his name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
If you're just joining us tonight, we will go into a summary of what we've discussed the previous 7 weeks because it will continue to lead us into week 8 as we discuss who the great harlot is. You'll see a consistent message of the biblical prophets of a consistent area, region that they are speaking of. As we've discussed before, this is an Israel-centric book, a Jerusalem-centric book, the Holy Bible, and then the secondary players are the surrounding nations who have always hated the children of Israel, and the God of Israel. So in week 1, we open this up on God's prophetic timeline. That's the name of the book that I've written. I believe God has given us a timeline to understand the events that we're seeing at a certain time, at a certain marker, if you will, just like when Messiah's birth was a marker for the first coming, Israel being born again as a nation was a marker for the second coming events, as most biblical scholars and prophecy teachers will agree with. So week 1, we discussed 1948 and the significance of the prophecy that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 66:8. And from Isaiah 66:8 through verse 24, he gives us a summarized timeline beginning with 1948 when the nation of Israel was born again. It hits on the 1967 prophecy in the next verse. And then in verse 14, it says, when you see this, when you see these things occur, Isaiah states, then he gives a description of Messiah's second coming with the sickle of fire, with the sickle of the sword that you can find in Revelation 14 and also in Revelation 19. So he's telling us, here's a summarized timeline, ladies and gentlemen, Israel being born again, children of Israel recapturing Jerusalem. And then when you see this, here comes the Messiah for a second coming. It continues through the millennial reign in Isaiah 66:15 on through the end of the chapter where it hits on the New Jerusalem as well. So he gives us a timeline from 1948 to the New Jerusalem in Isaiah's last chapter of Isaiah 66. Then we also go to Psalms 102:16 and 18. That's the 1967 prophecy. It says, when you see the Lord build up Zion, which is Jerusalem, he shall appear in his glory. And then it continues in verse 18. This is written for the generation to come. In Hebrew, that word is acharon, which means terminal or last. So it says, hey, when you see the Lord build up Zion, the Lord will come for his second coming. This is written for the last or the terminal generation. So we can understand through the prophets, through the psalmist, and through Isaiah that 1948 in 1967 were the markers. They were the signs that the second coming events could come into play. And then the markers are from 1948, 1967 to the second coming. In between that period, the other biblical prophecies will come to fruition. And we hit on Daniel. In the book of Daniel, he speaks of four kingdoms that will rise to power at the end of the age. We've discussed who those are. We went through Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8. And we label these kingdoms Babylon, which is Iraq. That's the first kingdom. Persia, Medo-Persia, which is Iran. Greece, which is Yavon in the Bible. It's a mistranslation. Greece was not a country until the 1800s. So Daniel would have labeled this Yavon, not Greece. And that is modern-day Turkey. And then the fourth kingdom is the Antichrist kingdom. In Daniel 2, we can understand this to be an end-of-the-age prophecy when these four kingdoms come to power, because in Daniel 2:28, it says, for the latter days, these kingdoms will come to fruition. And then Daniel continues in Daniel 2:44, and it says, in the days of these kings, the Messiah will come and set up his kingdom. And obviously that did not occur after Nebuchadnezzar, after Cyrus, and after Alexander. However, it will occur, I believe, in our generation. And so Daniel 2 is an end-of-the-age prophecy, and we've already labeled the kingdoms. How do we know that it's Babylon who began this process, who is the first kingdom? Well, it states that in Daniel 2:38, that it says, you are the head, which means the Babylonian Empire, which is modern-day Iraq. And from history, we can understand the kingdoms that came after Babylon was Medo-Persia, was Grecian or Turkey, and then you have the conglomerate Antichrist kingdom, which is all three of those. So Daniel 2 is an end-of-the-age prophecy that will occur after 1967 and before Messiah's second coming. Then the following week, we discuss Daniel 7. Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 are brother chapters. They're the same prophecy. They align perfectly together. They're in sequence exactly the same, four kingdoms, and then Messiah's kingdom. You know, four kingdoms, Messiah's kingdom. It's in sequence. Daniel 7 speaks of the courts of heaven. Daniel saw the Messiah getting the righteous verdict to come down and to dominate, to conquer those four kingdoms in Daniel 7. But it's exactly like Daniel 2, just different symbolism. Daniel 2 has gold, silver, and bronze, and iron. And Daniel 7 has a lion, a bear, a leopard, and iron as the fourth kingdom as well. They're the same kingdoms: Babylon, Iraq, Persia, Iran, Greece or Yavon, Turkey, and then the Antichrist kingdom. The following week, we went into Daniel 8, which is another end-of-the-age prophecy. Gabriel told Daniel three times that the prophecy is for the time of the end of the age, which you can find that in Daniel 8, 17 through 20. And it also labels the second kingdom and the third kingdom and how the battle is going to occur, like we were speaking at earlier in the broadcast, between Turkey and Iran. It tells us Turkey's going to win that war, and that's going to go, it'll go from the second kingdom to the third kingdom, which fulfills the other two, Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. So Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 gives us the four kingdoms, and Daniel 8 tells us how the third kingdom will overcome the second kingdom to come into power. Then the following week, we put all of this together, and if we believe that 1948 was the marker, then 1967, we're on God's prophetic timeline, then we can have confidence that we're on these kingdoms. And we align that with the events that have occurred in the last two decades, which the first one was Babylon, Iraq. Well, we all know that Iraq fell in 2003 under Saddam Hussein. That was the first kingdom. And I believe that you can ask any military leader, political leader, world leader, if you will, and everyone will agree that the kingdom that's in the power right now is Iran, which is Medo-Persia in the Bible. Everybody will, under prophecy students and biblical scholars, everyone will admit that if you keep up with the geopolitical arena, that Iran is the dominant superpower, just like the biblical prophets Daniel have told us. It was going to be Babylon, Iraq, then Medo-Persia, Iran. And then what we're seeing now, we're seeing Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey, 2001 on forward. He's the current president now. The last 2 years, he's had referendums. He's got sweeping powers. He's the dictator now. Most people think Turkey is a moderate country, which it was from 1923 until 2001. And then came Erdogan and the AKP party, and they've turned it into a tyrannical dictatorship of the Ottoman, basically the old Ottoman Empire, so to speak. So you're starting to see that he has a dictatorship, and what he's done with the Turkey coup back 2 years ago, or 1 year ago, I'm sorry, in the summer of 2016. He staged that so he can gain full control and power over Turkey. You see the recent remarks he's made after President Trump declared that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. You're seeing that third empire rise to power. You're seeing that Sunni rise to power to clash with Iran. You're seeing that happen, and the goal of that is over the landmass. Iran controls Iraq and Syria right now. They're the ones who control that. Well, Erdogan has said by 2023, I'm not setting dates, this is what he has said a couple of times, that 2023 is his marker for the revived Ottoman Empire, okay? So that means the land in Iraq and Syria and the Caucasus are what he wants to dominate. That's going to bring to power, or that's going to bring to fruition, that war in Daniel 8 because of good old-fashioned real estate. So just pay attention to this guy. He's rising tremendously. Just watch. Let's see if he's the one who fulfills this. In my opinion, he is that first king, that large horn in Daniel 8. And if you haven't heard this before, we have these podcasts on my website, faithfulperformance.com, or you can go to Linda's website, Gatekeepers International Ministry. We have these podcasts, so you can get the full scoop. I'm just going in summary here. But in my opinion, we're living in that second kingdom of Iran, Medo-Persia, and we're seeing the third kingdom rise to power tremendously, especially in the last two or three years. We're seeing it all come to fruition, and we're seeing the landmass, we're seeing the territories, the boundaries in Iraq and Syria come to where that is the crucial area that the biblical prophets have forewarned us of the Antichrist coming to power. For instance, he's called the Prince of Tyre, which is Lebanon. He's called the King of Babylon, which is Iraq. He's called the Assyrian, the King of Assyria. So that's Assyria. So he's called these names for us to watch that area, which is modern day. You can look at Turkey, Iraq, and Syria. That area is what the Antichrist is literally called in the biblical prophets. In my new book, I go through that very thoroughly about who he is called literally. You know, he is not called the Italian or the Austrian or the American or anything like that. He's called those specific names for us to understand the territory, the boundaries, that Seleucid division of the old Grecian Empire, if you will. That's the area that we should be focused on. So we're starting to see that come to fruition. The previous week, last week we had the technical difficulties, but the previous week we discussed Revelation 13 and also Revelation 17. Revelation 13, how we can confirm that it's that area, is Revelation 13, John, the apostle, the revelator, he tells us that the Antichrist kingdom is a lion, a bear, and a leopard. He says those three kingdoms are what makes the conglomerate Antichrist kingdom. So whenever I tell people it's a conglomerate Antichrist kingdom of those three animal symbolic, those beasts, we have to understand Daniel 7, because Daniel 7's first three beasts are a lion, a bear, and a leopard, the same three beasts that John says is one beast in the future. So the Antichrist kingdom will make up those three kingdoms, and we have to go to the ancient maps of the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and just look at the conglomerate landmass, which basically you can go to the Grecian Empire map because they conquered all the land area of Medo-Persia and also Babylon. That's one of the requirements. So you can go to the Grecian Empire, and you can see basically where the 10 kings will be. Daniel tells us who three of those 10 kings are in Daniel 11, 40 through 45. He tells us that Libya, Egypt, and it says Ethiopia, but that is Sudan. Okay, it's Cush. Okay, so we have to go back and look at who that was back when Daniel wrote the prophecy. Those are three of the 10 kings. Then we go to Daniel 8. What does he tell us? When the Grecian Empire, Turkey, breaks up into, after they conquer Iran, they will break off into four horns, which horns represent kings. So that will be four of the kings. However, that separates in the Turkey region, Syria, Iraq region, there will be four of the kings. So there's seven of the 10 kings, and we can have confidence the other three will be in that conglomerate land area of the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Grecian Empire, just like the prophet said. John said he saw a lion, a bear, and a leopard, which is Babylon, Persia, and Greece, Turkey. So, excuse me, it's very important to take John's, he didn't say there was a fourth kingdom or a fifth kingdom or a beast or whatever. He said those three. And once we identify those three in Daniel 7, then we can understand the conglomerate Antichrist kingdom. So that led us to Revelation 17, which we really discussed the previous week we were on the air. It gives us seven heads, okay, as well. And what those are, that's the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then it went to Rome, the fifth one. And then John gives us a riddle saying, the sixth one is Rome, and he gives us a riddle to identify the seventh empire, which will be the eighth, which is the revived Ottoman Empire, like we just spoke earlier. John was living in the sixth empire, which is Rome, and he said one's going to come afterwards, and it would be for a short time. It would be wounded, like Revelation 13:3 says. Well, the empire, like we discussed in the previous week, is the Ottoman Empire. It fits perfectly with everything, and you're starting to see it revived. It was wounded in 1923, and now you're starting to see it come back, just like the prophet said, John, in Revelation 13:3. So that leads us to tonight's subject, which is Mystery Babylon the Great. There is much debate on this prophecy. More and more people are starting to look at America as the great harlot. As we will find out, America is not the great harlot for several reasons. We have to understand the prerequisites that Revelation 17 and 18 gives us, and we have to fit every one of them. We can't just fit one or two and, okay, we're Mystery Babylon or Rome or the Catholic Church, if you will. Those are the two major ones that people talk about, is the Catholic Church, the Vatican, which is in Rome, or America, New York City, that sort of thing. Whenever we look at this prophecy literally and understand that it is an Israel-centric book and then their enemies, that's what the Holy Bible is. And just like we've just discussed in summary and like we've discussed for 8 weeks, Israel-centric and then the people who have always hated them, Ishmael, Edom, Esau, you know, Goliath, Philistia, you know, Philistines, those are the enemies that have the primary spot of the enemies against Israel. So we have to always remember that. Once we look at it in a Middle Eastern lens instead of a Western lens, okay, we can't look at it, okay, who is America's enemies? Okay, Russia, whoever it may be, that's not very responsible to do. We have to look at it from a Israel-centric standpoint, a Middle Eastern standpoint, and look at the battle that is a forever generational battle between Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau or Edom and their descendants. That's what it's all about. And whenever we look at it like that, it fits perfectly like a glove. It's perfect. We don't have to rearrange things or manipulate things in the scriptures. We take the text for what it's worth, and the biblical prophets have told us this throughout very thoroughly. So we have to understand Revelation, the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, of course he was in the spirit. He was caught up into heaven and he saw all of this, but he also had knowledge of the biblical prophets. He also had knowledge of Torah. So whenever he has been given something, he could identify that with what the prophet said. So he knew how to write it for all of us to understand, and we have to understand what the biblical prophet says about these things before we go to Revelation and just start plugging in countries on horns and heads and everything else. We have to be responsible to understand that we can find a perfect match if we go back to the biblical prophets. So with that being said, we'll get into tonight's subject of Revelation 17 and 18. Then we'll go to Isaiah 21. So if you have your sword of the Spirit, the Holy Bible, we can go to Isaiah 21, and then we're going to live in the prophets after that. We'll be going back and forth from Jeremiah to Ezekiel to Isaiah to confirm without any question who this harlot is. And I've said this many times on the podcast, that the Lord didn't need me or anyone else to identify who these people are, who these empires are. He has told us through his prophets who these people are, who these empires are. He didn't leave any stone unturned when he told us you know, about the biblical prophets. You know, we just have to put it all together. We have to look at it responsibly, literally, unless it is allegoric. And then if it's allegoric, go back to the biblical prophets and find out what the lion is, what the bear is, what the leopard is. So with that being said, the last time we spoke, we went through Revelation 17 a little bit, because Revelation 17 starts off with a beast and a woman riding the beast. So what does that mean? That means that the beast, which we've identified as the Antichrist kingdom, the 10 kings, okay, with the Antichrist as their leader, they're the beast. Well, then it has this woman who's riding it, okay? So they're in partnership. They're together at first, okay? So they're in partnership, and then we'll see what happens to that partnership after we go through the prophet. But it's very important, because whenever I get to the debating people and things like that, everybody wants to put the Catholic Church as the Antichrist kingdom and the harlot. And I'm like, well, you can't do that, because it's two different entities. So we have to understand that they are separate, but they're together. You know, we have to, and we've identified who the 10 kings are, like we've just discussed. We've already said three of them: Libya, Egypt, Sudan. Then we have four kings that will be in that Turkey area, however that divides out. And then the other three will be in that conglomerate area. But so we have to understand that for all of that to be Islamic, then we can better believe that the harlot is going to be Islamic. And when we, whenever we look at the prerequisites of what John's telling us, I think it's going to become very obvious who this is. So with that being said, we'll start like we always do. We'll read through Revelation 17. We'll stop at certain sentences to clarify, and then we'll continue, and we'll go through Revelation 18, and then we'll go to Isaiah 21, and we'll discuss who the harlot is. Revelation 17:1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Okay, there's some symbolism in here. So this is Revelation 17. That's right after the seventh bowl. So this is Messiah's second coming. We're talking about this. This is when the harlot's going to be destroyed, is Messiah's second coming, because it's right after the seventh bowl in Revelation 16. And one of the angels that poured out the bowls was saying to John. So we have to understand in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. Okay, that is adultery, spiritual adultery, okay, so to speak. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Wine is symbolism again. Okay, so it's telling us that wine, and we will identify what wine I believe that is. Okay, in verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. Okay, it's very imperative to understand the wilderness is desert, okay, in the Bible. Okay, so it's desert. You can go to Strong's number 6160 to find that out. That is desert. So he was carried away in the spirit in the desert. Just this alone eliminates Rome and also America, because it's a prerequisite. Where did John go to? He didn't go to New York City. He didn't go to anywhere. He went to the desert. Okay, what's the Middle East? Desert. So we have to understand that this already, this one prerequisite has already eliminated. America does not sit in a desert. New York City does not sit in a desert. Washington, D.C. does not either. And we all know that Rome does not. So just this one prerequisite is eliminates both of those. So right now we understand we're in a desert. Mystery Babylon is in a desert. Okay, the city is in a desert. Okay, so let's go to verse, we'll continue here. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Just like we just discussed, there's a woman and there's a beast. The beast has 10 heads, the Antichrist kingdom, 10 kings, the seven heads, we've already discussed who that was, and the revived one would be the Ottoman Empire. Again, so the beast is Antichrist kingdom, and which will be the revived Ottoman Empire, which is the conglomerate Babylonian, Persia, and Grecian Empire, okay, just like we've discussed in previous weeks. And then we have this woman who is riding the beast. They're in partnership at the moment. Okay, in verse 4, we get to the woman. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication, and on her head a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Okay, so this tells us there's a woman who's basically committing spiritual adultery. This is a false religion. Okay, this is what it's talking about. What's adultery? In the Bible, adultery is not meaning anything sexually. Most of the time, it's talking about the false religion, the paganism, the false. This is the greatest false religion that's ever existed, is what John is telling us. It's the mother of all harlots and all of the abominations of the earth. So this is a false religion that sits in a desert thus far that we have discovered. In verse 6, I saw the woman, the harlot, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Here's another prerequisite. Okay, it says that this woman, this harlot, this false religion is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Again, this eliminates America. America is not martyring the saints. They're not martyring the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. We're not doing that. We're not cutting people's heads off. We've been the biggest promoter of the gospel in mankind, actually. We've sent out the gospel to more countries than anyone. So for anyone to label America as this, as the woman, as the harlot who's drunk with the blood of the saints on their hands and with the martyrs of Jesus, I just totally, absolutely disagree with that. Again, I believe America is, we have a lot of issues, there's no question, with abortion, and yes, that is on our hands for sure, but this is talking about the murder of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus is on their hands. That we are not a false religion in America. Even the Vatican is not a false religion like this. Okay, I have a lot of issues with the Catholic Church. That's neither here or there, but they are not stained with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. They're just not. They believe in Jesus. Okay, they do. And for anyone to say that 1.9 billion people are all going to, you know, going to hell, going to the pit, in my mind, that's in the era. You know, again, they're not perfect. They've got a lot of issues with their doctrine. I believe we all know that. However, they are not the great harlot, or they're not the Antichrist kingdom. They're neither. Okay, they're neither or. So let's go to verse 7, and we'll get into what the angel tells us. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. Again, the Antichrist kingdom. The beast which you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. We've discussed this in the previous recording. If you weren't with us, you can find that on my website or Linda's. This is the revived Ottoman Empire, which is a conglomerate of the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian Empire, which is Iraq, Iran, Turkey, but the land area of those ancient kingdoms. Okay. It says that they will come back again, which we're seeing that with the Ottoman Empire. Again, the Ottoman Empire engulfs all of those three previous empires when you look at the previous maps, okay? So if you haven't heard, you can go back and listen to those, but we'll continue. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was not and is not and yet is. Okay, so now here's, and we've gone through this last week, so we'll just go through this very shortly because this is just talking about the beast kingdom, which I believe we've hit on enough tonight. Here's the mind which has wisdom in verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Just like we've discussed, these are seven kingdoms, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and then we've said the Ottoman Empire is that seventh and will be the eighth that goes to perdition. Okay, in verse 12, it says, the ten horns which you saw are the ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. That's the ten kings of the Antichrist kingdom, the three, Libya, Egypt, Sudan, which is in Daniel 11, 40 through 45, and then the other four that we know of will come in that breakup of Turkey in Daniel 8. Okay, and then the other three, as we discussed, will be in the conglomerate area. Okay, it continues in verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, for those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Amen. In verse 15, it says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So it's interpreting who the waters are. Okay, it says she sits on many waters, and John is saying, hey, or the angel is saying, hey, the harlot, the waters which you saw are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. They're the ones the kings control with the product, the one product that everybody needs in the world. Okay, there's one product that the whole world, the inhabitants of the earth, are made drunk on. Okay, and the kings of the earth are committing fornication, spiritual adultery, with this false religion for the product that we will find out here in a minute. Okay, so we'll continue. In verse 16, it says, and here we go. Here's the result of the partnership between the Antichrist kingdom and the harlot. Okay, because they were in partnership, but at the end of the age, this is what happens to that partnership. And the ten horns, which is the Antichrist kingdom, which is the beast, which is the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecian Empire, which is the revived Ottoman Empire, okay, that land area we've been discussing, these will hate the harlot. So the beast kingdom, the ten kings, will hate the harlot, the woman, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire, okay? So that's what happens to her at the end of the age, is she is burned with fire by the Antichrist kingdom. Verse 17, for God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay, here's another prerequisite. It's a great city. It is a great city, the greatest false religion city there is. Okay, as we've discussed, it sits in the desert. Okay, it's got the blood of the saints on their hands, okay, and the martyrs of Jesus on their hands. So we've eliminated, you know, America, New York, Washington, Rome, the Vatican, the Catholic Church. We've eliminated that because of all the other prerequisites, and this is just another prerequisite that we have to go through. It's a great city that sits in the desert, who has the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus on their hand. Okay, and as we will see, and I believe when we get to the end of this, there is a city that's even expanding as of today, actually, as of about a month ago. There was some more information on the city, which is pretty phenomenal. Okay, then we go to chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is falling, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine, the product of the wine, the wrath of her fornication, the adultery. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Please mark this, because we're going to come back to this. This is very important to understand in verse 2. Babylon the Great is fallen. Please mark that or remember that. And then remember, it's going to become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hated bird. We're going to find that in the biblical prophets, that what we just spoke about in Revelation 18:2, we're going to find every bit of that in the biblical prophets to confirm, number one, this harlot is going to be called out by name, and then also we're going to confirm this as well to put the icing on the cake so we all understand who Mystery Babylon is. Okay, in verse 4 it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. Just like we hit on the previous week, and when I was giving kind of hints of why I believe America is not, it's very important to understand, of course, because a lot of people are banking on this in America when they're talking about Mystery Babylon, and this is dangerous. There's been people who have actually moved out of America, you know, because of what's written that we just read, that, you know, because he says, come out of her, my people, unless you share her sins. So a lot of people who believe it's America, there's actually been people who've moved from America, you know, because they believe it's the great harlot. Okay, so that's why it's very important to understand who this is, because so we can be responsible when we proclaim it, number one. So we're also looking in the right direction, okay? We're looking Middle East, not Europe, not America, just like we've talked about. It is Israel-centric and their surrounding nations. Okay, so it's very important, and that's why some people are moving out of America is because of that. So verse 5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxury, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow, and I will see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day. So again, there you go, one day. Whenever the scriptures speak of that day, one day, in that day, the day of the Lord, you know, it's talking about Messiah's second coming, that day. You know, there's only one day that the biblical prophets really emphasize about, and of course that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he comes for his second coming. This is that day. Just like we said, this is at the end of Revelation. This is at his second coming. After the bowl judgments, all this is going to occur, and Mystery Babylon will be destroyed, as we will see in the biblical prophets here in a few minutes. Okay, in verse 9, it says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxury with her will weep and lament for her when she see that when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at the distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. Okay, in verse 11 through 14, it says basically all the things that I'm not going to get read into that. It just goes into all the items and all the things, that the merchandise and everything that was sold, so to speak, gold, silver, oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fruit, etc., etc. In verse 15, we can pick up, the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones of pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. And then talks about the shipmaster and all the people who are lamenting and weeping and crying out because of the smoke of her burning, and says, what is like this great city? Okay, so that's basically the prophecy that we're seeing right here. We're talking about the judgment. It ends with the judgment of, you know, everything. The mighty angel threw a millstone in it and just a fire, so to speak. So you could read the rest of that. But the main thing is to understand who this is. And then we will understand the judgment that was proclaimed by the biblical prophets, that John understood this, and that's why he wrote this prophecy the way he did. So again, let's go over the prerequisites for this prophecy of who this is. It's the harlot who sits on many waters, which are people, nations, just like the angel said. Okay, they control this, this system. As the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants made drunk with the wine of her fornication. It's talking about a false religion. So the harlot is a false religion, a great city that's a false religion, that sits in a desert, is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Those are the primary prerequisites, okay, for the great harlot. Okay, so now let's go to Isaiah 21, and he will identify who this harlot is for us. And I'll give you a second to turn there. And then we're also going to go through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and they will lead us to understanding of all these things. And we'll tie in some of the prerequisites, the Babylon is falling, and then also the desert, the foul animals and beasts. We'll see that invade in the biblical prophets as well. So in Isaiah 21, we'll read this real quick. It's only 17 verses, and this is going to identify who Mystery Babylon is. Again, the Lord didn't leave it to anyone else to decide who this was. He has told us who this was, who this is through his biblical prophets. In verse 21, verse 1, most people, before I begin, most people believe Isaiah 21, just like most of the biblical prophets, most people believe Isaiah 21 was already fulfilled. Okay, and there are some instances to where a prophecy has been fulfilled, but then it will become fulfilled again. It's a kind of a dual fulfillment, if you will. You know, like Passover, if you will. You know, they did Passover every year, you know, so that kind of just kept fulfilling the Passover feast, if you will. Same thing with prophecy. Prophecy can, you know, be fulfilled multiple times, so to speak. So most people look at this as historical, and it's been fulfilled, but I would beg to differ. And once we read just the first sentence, I think it will rule out ancient Babylon for this prophecy. Okay, so verse 1, it says, the burden or the judgment against the wilderness of the sea. You know, so whenever we go to our Strong's dictionary, the wilderness means again, and Strong's 6016, it means desert. Okay, so it's against the desert of the sea. Okay, so this is telling us that there is a sea near this desert that where this judgment is going to occur. Well, if we go to ancient Babylon, when we look at a map of ancient Babylon was not located near a sea. Iraq is not located near a sea. It's located near the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. Okay, so this rules out ancient Babylon as being mystery Babylon, that most, some people believe it's going to be rebuilt, you know, so to speak, in Babylon. But we already discussed that Iraq has already fallen in the first kingdom in Daniel's prophecy. So this is interesting. It tells us there is a judgment on the desert by the sea. We will identify the sea, and we will also identify the city in this desert. So let's continue. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. A distressing vision is declared to me. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunderer plunders. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. That's Iran. That's the Medes, okay? Medo-Persia. Okay, this is Iran. All its signing I have made to cease, therefore my loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me like the pangs of a woman in labor. I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. My heart wavered. Fearfulness frightened me. The night for which I longed, he turned into fear for me. Prepare the table, set a watchman in the tower, eat and drink, arise, you princes, anoint the shield. For thus has the Lord said to me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. And he saw a chariot with a pair of horsemen, a chariot of donkeys, and a chariot of camels, and he listened earnestly with great care. Okay, so he's telling us that the Medes and Elam, which is Iran, Medo-Persia, is in this. They're going to be the ones who destroy Mystery Babylon. Okay, so it tells us right here, and it will confirm it at the end, that Mystery Babylon will be destroyed with fire by the Medes and the Persians, or Elam, which is Iran. Okay, and I want you to look at today, look at the Middle East today. If you keep up with the geopolitical arena over there, look at what's happening. You're seeing Iran coming against a specific country very hard. Who is Mystery Babylon? And we'll find that out here. Okay, in verse, we'll keep on going to verse 7. And in verse 8, then he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime. I have sat at my post every night, and look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. Then he answered and said, Babylon is falling, and all the carved images of her gods, he is broken to the ground. So here we go. Here's a match. Remember Revelation 18:2? Babylon is falling. Here we go in Isaiah 21. The prophet says, Babylon is falling. So there is a match. Okay, so let's continue with this. In verse 10, oh, my threshing and the grain of my floor, that I wish I had heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have declared to you. Okay, here we go. Here we are about to identify Mystery Babylon by name. Okay, and it's very important to understand by the original names that Isaiah wrote in, and we will plug those into a specific country of today that we will find out who Mystery Babylon is. Because we already have the match, Babylon is fallen, so we're talking about Mystery Babylon here. This is not talking about ancient Babylon. This is not talking about it. It's talking about the desert by the sea. Okay, just like in verse 1, he started out telling us this is not ancient Babylon, this is Mystery Babylon, and that's what he confirmed. Babylon is falling, just like Revelation 18:2. We get to verse 11. It says, the burden, the judgment against Duma. Okay, so remember that, Duma. He calls to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return and come back. Then it continues in verse 13, the burden against Arabia. In the forest in Arabia you will lodge, O you traveling companies of Dedanites, O inhabitants of the land of Timah. Bring water to him who is thirsty. With their bread they met whom fled, for they fled from the swords, from the dawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the distress of war. For thus the Lord has said to me, within a year, according to the year of a hired man, all the glory of Kedar will fall, and the remainder of the number of archers, the mighty men of the people of Kedar, will be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. I know this is a mindful to read, but let's focus on the names that he gives us, because he's talking about Babylon is falling, okay, which is a match to Revelation 8:18-2, and then he calls them out by name. He says Duma, Seir, Arabia. He talks about Kedar. He talks about Dedan. He talks about Timah. Okay, all of these names are in Saudi Arabia. Whenever you go to an ancient map and you look at these ancient names, today they are located in Saudi Arabia. Okay, and it actually even calls out Arabia. Isaiah says in Isaiah 21:13, the judgment against Arabia and all of the countries that are in this prophecy is speaking of Saudi Arabia, and it says Babylon is falling. So in my opinion, I believe Isaiah is telling us that Saudi Arabia, the harlot, is Mystery Babylon. And as we continue this process, you will be able to see what product do they have that gets the inhabitants of the earth drunk off the wine of their false religion. Okay, if you're familiar with Saudi Arabia, you can probably already see where I'm going with all of this because it's very apparent. But also, let's look at some more tie-ins. Revelation 14:8, you don't have to turn there. It gives us another, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We've already discussed Revelation 18:2. This speaks of this, Babylon has fallen. So if we take the prophet for what his words are, we believe it's Saudi Arabia. Okay, now let's look at Ezekiel 25:13. If you would like to turn with me on that, we're going to identify another name for Saudi Arabia because of their ancient name. Okay, and then once we understand their ancient name, we'll be able to tie in everything else with it because of the judgments that the biblical prophets have said for this specific region of the Middle East. In Ezekiel 25:13, because there is some debate on what Edom is. Okay, Edom, most people believe, is just southern Jordan. However, Ezekiel 25:13 says, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch my hand against Edom and cut off man and beast from it and make it desolate from Teman to Dedan. Okay, so he gives us the boundary lines right here. Okay, so it's not just southern Jordan. Edom is southern Jordan plus Saudi Arabia. Okay, because when you look at where Teman is, that's Yemen. Yemen. Okay, and then you got Dedan, which is kind of in the middle, kind of like a western, in the midwestern section of Saudi Arabia. So it's telling us where Edom is. Duma and Seir and Kedar is above that, almost going into Jordan. So we can understand that Edom, which is another name for Esau, okay, you can find that in Genesis, that the Lord named him Edom. Okay, as well, another name, just like he changed Jacob's name to Israel. You know, he changed Esau's name or gave him another name, Edom, as well, to identify him by. So we can understand Edom to be southern Jordan all the way to Yemen, okay, in today's map. So now that we understand Edom is Mystery Babylon, which is Saudi Arabia, now let's continue forward to look at some of these prophecies that the biblical prophets have foretold. In Psalms 137, I can read this real quick. Psalms 137:7-8, it says, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, okay, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed. The daughter of Babylon, we have to understand Saudi Arabia was included in the land area of the Babylonian Empire. That's why it's called the daughter of Babylon. Okay, if you'd like to turn with me to Jeremiah 49:20-22, Okay, it has another judgment about Edom. Again, while you're turning there, the biblical prophets were very consistent in speaking of who the Antichrist kingdom is, who the empires were, who are the ancient enemies of Israel. Okay, and for the people who want to proclaim America is in here somewhere, somehow, as the harlot, okay, Isaiah says that the Lord declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times not yet fulfilled in Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. So my question would be, or my declaration would be, America is only a couple hundred years old. Okay, it was not in the beginning. And yes, we will have our part in this, just like we were the ones who dethroned Saddam Hussein. We're the ones who will, you look at the Middle East, America's hands were in that with the revolutions of Egypt and Libya and so forth, with Syria will be involved. Of course America is going to be involved, just like Russia and everyone else, but we are not Mystery Babylon. We are not the Antichrist kingdom. We are not even the eagle, okay? God is the eagle, just like Exodus says. So we have to be very careful in putting, we live in America, Linda and I, so we have to be very careful at putting our country wherever we live in these prophecies if the biblical prophets do not proclaim it. So in Jeremiah 49, 20 through 22, here's another judgment of Edom, Saudi Arabia, the harlot. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Edom, Saudi Arabia, the harlot, and his purposes that he has proposed against the inhabitants of where? Teman, Yemen. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their dwelling places desolate with them. The earth shakes at the noise of their fall. At the cry, its noise is heard at the, where? The Red Sea. Well, there you go. The sea of the wilderness, of the desert, right? Just like Isaiah 21 said. Jeremiah follows that up. Okay, well, I'm going to give you who the sea is. It is the Red Sea. And whenever you look, where is Saudi Arabia? To the west of it is the Red Sea. And we will find out who this great city is here in a minute. The false religion, it is right near the Red Sea. So again, it's like a puzzle. We have to puzzle all of this together. One prophet gives us this. We go to another prophet. We put it together, and this is what it is. Jeremiah 49 says, the noise will be heard at the Red Sea, which is right by Saudi Arabia, not America, not Rome, not ancient Babylon. Okay? And then he continues, he shall come up and fly like the eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah, which is Jordan, southern Jordan, Edom, the heart of the mighty man of Edom, and that day shall be like the heart of a woman in birth pangs. That tells you how severe the judgment's going to be. Okay, here's one of my favorite. Go to Isaiah 63, if you will. This is one of my favorite passages of the scriptures of the biblical prophets because it speaks of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, as he comes for his second coming. It's just an awesome way how Isaiah wrote this. And again, this mystery Babylon, this false religion of Saudi Arabia, okay, what does it have? Islam, okay, it's the greatest false religion ever. It's the only religion that directly defies the Holy Bible, that directly goes against it, okay? It does not believe in the virgin birth. It does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It does not believe in the Holy Trinity. Is directly in defiance against it, okay? And this for a reason, to deceive people, okay? When I speak of Islam, I'm speaking of Islam. I love the Muslim people. They're deceived, so we need to be praying for them, okay? Whenever I speak, I'm speaking about the religion, Satan's false religion, Islam. It's the greatest blasphemy, the greatest false religion ever, and its fountainhead is in Saudi Arabia. That's where it is. That's where it is. And the great city is Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and we'll see how it has expanded itself even of recent days and what it has planned in the future. Okay, we'll see that in a minute, but Mecca, Saudi Arabia is the fountainhead. That's where the Kaaba stone is. That's where it's, some people believe it's the most visited place on earth, sadly as that may seem. And what they do is they make pilgrimage to there, and they go around the Kaaba stone, believing that it cleanses their sins and things like that. Please do your research on that. It's called the Kaaba, K-A-A-B-A stone. Okay, Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Where's Mecca located? By the Red Sea, just like the prophet said, Jeremiah. So we have to understand that it is the greatest blasphemy. And where is that land? What was the origination of that land? Ishmael. That was his original land, just like we've discussed. The end will be like the beginning, okay? Why do most Muslims hate Israel because they believe the promise should go to Ishmael, okay, because he was the quote-unquote firstborn. But just like Paul says, he was the born of the flesh. Isaac was born of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that. So Isaiah 63, 1 through 4, it says this. Who is this comes from Edom, Saudi Arabia, the harlot, with dyed garments from Bozrah, this one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save, the Lord God Almighty, Yeshua. Why is your apparel red and your garments like ones who treads the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem has come. This is the Messiah. This is Yeshua, Jesus, coming for his second coming, coming alone. Most people believe we all come together. No, he comes alone at first, and then he comes back and he gets us. Okay, he comes. Read Revelation 19. His blood, his garments are stained with blood. Okay, so he comes down by himself to take vengeance upon Ishmael, to take vengeance upon the great harlot, the greatest false religion ever to have occurred on the earth. He comes down to Edom, okay, to Bozrah, which is southern Jordan, but Edom, like we discussed in Ezekiel 25, is from all the way Saudi Arabia to Yemen, okay? So this is the Messiah coming back strictly to Mystery Babylon to destroy them, okay? And he will use Medo-Persia, Iran, to destroy them with fire, okay? So however that occurs, okay, we have to understand the Lord uses people to destroy, just like he used Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem. I mean, he's going to use that, and most people probably don't really want to put that together. But however he does it, he's going to come with the sword, and then he'll get someone to carry out the fire. Okay, but it's all under his control with that. And the fire will be from Medo-Persia, just like Isaiah 21 says. So that prophecy will be fulfilled. Okay, so let's turn to the product, okay, the product of the, let's think about this, the product, what is the product that is used to get the inhabitants of the earth drunk? If you're familiar with Saudi Arabia, you probably have figured this out already. What is the one product in the world that all of the world needs? Everybody on this earth uses this product pretty much, 99% of the people. It's not wine, okay? Oil. Oil is what John's talking about. It is the cornerstone for every person on this earth. If you travel, if you fly, if you do anything, you need the base of oil, okay, for gasoline. Okay, what has Saudi Arabia done? Okay, they used to be the largest exporter. Okay, I think Venezuela has surpassed them of recent days, but they pump out 10.3 million barrels a day. Okay, this is without question what John's speaking of, oil. Nothing in the world will make the world, if you will, an allegory, drunk off the wine, okay, the oil, like this does. I mean, look at what, how everybody bows down to Saudi Arabia. Look how America has bowed down to Saudi Arabia. America does not have oil. America does not have a product. America is a debtor nation, okay? Saudi Arabia is not a debtor nation. It's got plenty of money if you're pumping that much oil out. It used to be, before the markets corrected itself, they used to make $1 billion a day. Okay, so you tell me, okay, America is a debtor nation. I think we owe 20 trillion, okay, 21 trillion, something like that. Saudi Arabia makes $1 billion a day. So you tell me who is the harlot, who is making the world drunk off of a product, who is the one who's making the kings of the earth bow down to them. Okay, look at the presidents of recent years, and not to bash them, but the Bushes, the Clintons, Obama, you name it, all the presidents, Carter, every one of them, we've had a very great relationship with Saudi Arabia because America needs the oil. I think George Bush said that America is addicted to oil. I think he's the one who quoted that, okay? And that's what it is. So it makes perfect sense that you can go online and look at all the people who basically, if you will, bow down to Saudi Arabia, okay, because they're the ones who control the product that the world needs the most, and that is oil. If we turn to Joel 3, if you want to turn there with me, we'll find out another interesting correlation to this prophecy. In Joel 3, 1 through 3, the prophet says, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them on the account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided my land. They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy as payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink." Oil. This is what Joel's talking about. Matthew 25, the Lord is going to bring all of the nations and separate them from sheep and goats. Okay, that's not talking about individuals. It's talking about nations. Okay, he's going to bring them to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is in Jerusalem. And he's going to bring them, and he's going to judge them for how they've treated his people. That's why it's important for America and all other nations, wherever you may be, to support Israel. Okay, because he's going to bless those who bless them, and he will curse those who curse them. Okay, just like it says in Genesis 12:3. So it's very important to understand that he is speaking of the ancient enemies of his people when he's speaking about most of these prophecies, and yes, all of the other nations who do not support Israel. Okay, so whenever we look at more judgment upon this, we remember in Revelation 18:2 that it says that once the judgment occurs, if I can get back here, I can read it for you. But once the judgment occurs, the place in Saudi Arabia will be a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage of unclean and hated bird. Okay, so it's basically saying it's going to be desolate, okay, in Revelation 18:2. When we go to Isaiah 34, and I'll read a couple verses, verse 5, and then 8 through 10. Okay, this is what the prophet says, Isaiah. "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom, Arabia, southern Jordan, the harlot, and on the people of my curse for judgment. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance." There you go again. What were we at? We're at the second coming. This is the day of the Lord's vengeance on Edom, on the harlot. Okay. "The year of recompense for the cause of Zion, for Jerusalem, its streams shall be burned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become a burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forevermore." So what can we make? This is a very important prophecy, Isaiah 34, okay, Isaiah 63. All of these are very important because what does it say? It says that the land is going to be a burning pitch, okay, once the Lord destroys it. It's going to be a burning pitch. Well, how is that going to occur? It says it's not going to be quenched. So what can make a burning pitch? If you remember, can you remember the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein lit up all the oil fields and it just burned forever, it seems, you know, the burning pitch? Well, that's what the Lord's talking, or that's what Isaiah's talking about. The Lord got him to write it like that so we can understand that when you light an oil field, it will burn forever. It'll keep burning. Okay, so who has the most oil? Who has the most reserves? Saudi Arabia, without question. So this is another prophecy, Edom, that he's talking about. When you see Edom, that's Arabia, and it also includes southern Jordan. Okay, but this is another, Isaiah 34, it goes with the mystery Babylon judgment. Okay, in Ezekiel 20, I'll read this as well. This confirms it again. Ezekiel 20, 47 through 49. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree and every dry tree in you. The blazing flame shall not be quenched." There you go again. The burning pitch will go forever. "And all the faces from the south to the north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched." Wow. So here we go in Revelation 18, 8 through 10, when it talks about the destruction of mystery Babylon. It says, "Therefore her plagues will come in one day." What's the day? The day of vengeance. The second coming. Messiah's second coming. Okay, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. Again, there you go. "For strong is the Lord God who judge her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication, adultery, and live luxury with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, Mecca, Saudi Arabia, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And that's pretty incredible. Here we go in Jeremiah 50. I'll just read this real quick as we bring it home. Jeremiah 50, 39 through 40. Here we go again. It shall be inhabited no more forever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it. It confirms exactly what Revelation 18 states. Jeremiah 50, 39 through 40 is a mystery Babylon verse when you read it in context. Also in Jeremiah 52, 6 through 7, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine, her oil. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and has been destroyed. Again, it goes perfectly with Revelation 18, okay? And it's talking about mystery Babylon has fallen, and it goes perfectly with the harlot's prerequisites. Okay, so that is basically the judgment that comes with it, and you can see from these examples it correlates absolutely perfectly with Revelation. All of this fits like a glove. It's not in the mystery Babylon is not the Vatican. It is not the Catholic Church. It's not Rome. It's not ancient Babylon. It's not some people say Jerusalem. It's not that. It's not definitely not America. Okay, it's the ancient enemy. Okay, that has always hated the God of Israel and the children of Israel. Okay, so it's very important that we put together all of this like a puzzle. And once we have that, then we understand the prerequisites, and then we go back to the biblical prophets. We understand what the modern-day terms, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, all of these modern names, we have to go back and understand them the way the biblical prophets understood them. And then we can start piecing these things together as a puzzle. And then whenever we do that, in my personal opinion, I believe without question, we're seeing the harlot of Saudi Arabia. One thing to hit on that we might have missed, or I might have missed previously, is this. Is Saudi Arabia, as we've discussed, it's the fountainhead of Islam. It's where the most radical form of Islam comes from, which is Wahhabism. Okay, it's Wahhabi Sunni Islam. Okay, and we have to understand that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, you name it, gets their doctrine from the harlot, Saudi Arabia. Okay, they're the ones who, it comes from Saudi Arabia, comes from Mecca. It lines up absolutely perfectly with that. Okay, and I want to hit on what has occurred here recently in Saudi Arabia, that now we have a lot of other prophecy students are really looking at Saudi Arabia as the harlot now, because it speaks of this great city, okay? And on October 24th, 2017, it was called the Saudi Vision of 2030, the Future Investment Initiative Conference. It was held in the capital, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Okay, they announced that there was going to be a 10,230 square feet, square mile mega city, okay, with the first phase of it scheduled for completion in 2025. Okay, it will be 30 times larger than New York City, more than twice the size of Sydney, Australia. And the name of this mega city is called Neom, N-E-O-M. Okay, and it means new future. Okay, and it's going to be adjacent to the Red Sea. Okay, we've talked about that in Jeremiah, and also the Gulf of Aqaba. Okay, and it's going to form a gateway between Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Okay, it'll have close access to the trade routes that use the Suez Canal, and its strategic location will also facilitate the zone's rapid emergence as a global hub that connects three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. Again, the port city, right? It speaks of in the prophets, okay? So also in Saudi Arabia, what's occurring is also, it's called King Abdullah Economic City, okay? and it currently has a massive building projects all around Mecca and Jeddah. You have to look at a map to really understand the geography of it. But it's talking about this mega city that's coming to fruition, okay, and it's got all these high-speed speed rails, trains, and things like that. It's something to really research because I believe that it's culminating into this great city. I mean, some of us have believed Mecca, Saudi Arabia, you know, just Mecca. But I believe it's expanding into even a greater city that even confirms what the prophet is saying even more. So I wanted to, you know, give that as insight as well to kind of look into Neom, N-E-O-N. You can look at that online, Saudi Arabia 2030. And, you know, just do the research on that and see what you come up with. But I believe we are seeing this come to fruition with Saudi Arabia very rapidly. I think it's been overlooked by most of biblical scholars and prophecy teachers, not to condemn them or anything like that, but I just believe we're seeing this incredible prophecy come to light very significantly at the end of the age, just like we're seeing these kingdoms fall. And it's very clear, you know, if we're looking in the right area and if we keep up with the geopolitical arena, we're also seeing Saudi Arabia become the apparent, the clear mystery Babylon. Number one, we can see it, the biblical prophets have told us who this was. Number two, we can see it with our own eyes, just like Daniel has told us who the four kingdoms are. Isaiah has told us who Mystery Babylon is. Plus, when we understand it's Edom, okay, we understand what Jeremiah, what Ezekiel, what all of the prophets have spoken of about Edom, which is Saudi Arabia, and the great harlot. So with that being said, I believe we've discussed everything on this, and we can open it up for questions, Linda.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Good to know that the United States of America is not the mother of harlots or the Babylon the Great. I'm glad to know that because so many people over the years since I've been saved have said that. And even Jewish people, even when I was on the trip in Israel at a conference, one of the Jewish ladies mentioned the United States, and she was really speaking against our president. And I just happened to be in the ladies' room when she was in there, and she started talking. So I think they think that the United States of America is the mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. But we know that the United States of America is not. I think most of the missionaries to other countries come out of this country, and I think that keeps God's hand on this nation. But I thank and praise God. Well, we don't have any callers that want to talk this evening. I think it kind of threw them off because we did have callers last Thursday when the server was under attack by another server. But we thank and praise God that the message got through, penetrated the darkness, and that God has given us another opportunity to bring forth his word tonight. So we're looking forward to week 9 on Thursday night. You can just dial in 929-477-2442. I just want to share that every broadcast is re-aired on another radio broadcast. It's the Christian Radio Network. It's actually the CEO of that network. About 2 years ago was listening to my broadcast on another radio station, and he contacted them and asked them if he could contact me. And I talked to him on the phone, and he asked me if he could re-air the Gatekeepers Ministry radio broadcast on his Wednesday afternoon broadcast. And so it's called GCN Radio, and this broadcast will also be re-aired on that radio station this Wednesday at 1 p.m. So you can go to gcnradio.com, and we'll send out the link It's been going on. I mean, it's a big worldwide Christian radio network, and they just happened to want to re-air our broadcast on Wednesdays, and I'm grateful. So it's actually Radio GCN Network. And so we're blessed by God that these broadcasts are being aired twice a week, not just once a week, and also on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com. So thank you, author, teacher Chadwick Harvey. What an honor and a privilege to have you on the broadcast again. I really appreciate you, sir. You really break down what you know very simply and in a way that we could all understand what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to us in these last days about God's prophetic timeline. So I appreciate you. And so we're going to sign off right now. So this is missionary evangelist Linda Kasher saying I love you and good night. God bless you.